This is Isaac of Nineveh, back again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. And today I want to talk just briefly about some of the things that I've learned recently, and some things that I think might be helpful for other people out there, especially people who are in my similar situation in life, and they're kind of wondering what the next step is, what kind of decision, how they should make good decisions, how they should make maybe perhaps life-changing decisions. It seems like everyone around me is in some form of transition or in some sort of a decision-making process, and I just want to talk about that a little bit today. First of all, the big word that is used in philosophy for finding of truth or knowing how do you know what you know is called epistemology. Epistemology is the study of how you know. Now, I don't really want to focus so much on epistemology as I want to focus on making good decisions and finding the truth in a certain situation. Now, from the outset, it should be stated that the truth in any given situation is always going to be accepted by you with faith. No matter how big the evidence is, no matter how much you're overwhelmingly convinced or how much it's proved or whatever, the truth of something is still a step of faith. To say, okay, I'm going to believe that the evidence is telling me the truth, or it's actually a reflection of reality. It's in some way, it's all going to be accepted by faith. Because there are a lot of people out there that believe completely contradictory truths, or so they say, and yet you can't convince them otherwise because they're totally convinced. So it doesn't really matter the argument or whatever. There's a spiritual aspect to truth that's more than just the rational mind. And so having said that from the beginning, how do you make a well-informed decision that you can rest on and say, you know what, I made the decision the best to my ability in the time with the information that I could. And so how can you go through a transition stage, or how can you go through a process of making a big decision and walk away from it saying, you know what, I made the best decision that I could, and do it without regret, and do it with a full heart in front of the Lord, in front of other people, in front of the church, and being real with yourself and saying, you know what, I did the best job that I could with the information that I had in the time that I had it. And to say, you know, if it doesn't work out, then it didn't work out. But I made the decision based upon some things, and I made it in a way that released me from further obligation and released me from the prison of regret that, oh, I should have done that, I should have done this, I should have done that, whatever. So, first of all, where do we usually go to find truth or to say, okay, this was true? Usually our sources are from people around us, from media, from our teachers or our parents. And if people around us say that it's true, then we tend to believe it. Now, most of the time, most of us have a system for making decisions based upon the truth that other people have told us. And most of our decision-making faculties and most of our decisions that we make, usually as Christians, I'm assuming that in a Christian context, most of our decisions are usually made not really systematically or not even consciously, but there's this kind of intuitive, mystical kind of thing that people kind of say they felt led, they were called, and there really is no evidence. There's no strong evidence that they could point to and say, this, 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 and this, all of this added up, and the sum total was me making this decision. I know that I've lived my life this way for a very long time, that most of the decisions that I made, I kind of fell into. And, you know, this really is, it's a lazy man's way of making decisions, because what happens is you might end up in a bad situation or something like that, and you stand around and you blame God, and you say, look, Lord, why'd you let this happen to me? And you don't take responsibility for the decisions that you made because you were half-hearted in making the decision to begin with, and you didn't go out and search how to make better decisions. You just fell into the same pattern that you received from your parents or whatever, made a bad decision, fell into a bad situation, blamed God, didn't take responsibility. And so the Lord has been telling me lately, you better take responsibility for your actions. And I've been asking him, Lord, please give me some way to make decisions. I need something solid. I need a system. I need something I can chart out. I need something I can write down. I need to be able to stand back at the end of the day and say, look, I made a good decision. And so I feel like he has done that through one of the respected teachers in the body, a guy named Mark Verkler. who kind of deflated my balloon about how you make good decisions. Because I think all of us know that there are people out there that really make good decisions and they make them consistently. But what we don't know is how. How do they make those decisions? You know, I think for me before, I used to make decisions by, were there enough random coincidences that it had to be God and random circumstances. Now, I know God speaks through random circumstances and coincidences, but that's really not the full picture. Or does this sound like a good idea to people that I know? Or is this in line with the Bible? Okay, well, there's three. That's three areas, random circumstances. Do people that I know and trust, do they think that's a good idea? And two, is it in line with the Bible? But, you know, there's got to be more to it than just those, right? Because that doesn't really take into account, well, maybe all those things line up, but you know what? I don't have any peace about it. Or maybe all those things line up, but it doesn't seem to be happening. Or something to this effect. So what's a good comprehensive system for making a good decision? And this is what I think Mark Verkler really contributes to the body of Christ, is that he sets down this stuff, he gives you a system, he tells you this is what you need to do. And most of us, we don't want to admit that it could be as easy as having a system. It couldn't be as easy as having, you know, maybe a chart, maybe a place where you could, you know, write down the evidence for making good decisions or trying to find categories or something. We want to keep it on that mystical level where it's not possible really to know how to make a good decision. And as soon as we move it from the mystical into the practical, this is the nuts and bolts, this is how you do it, we disavow ourselves of our own responsibility in making the decision. And I personally believe the Lord still holds you accountable. He held you accountable, one, for trying to separate yourself from your decisions. He held you accountable, for two, for not seeking a better way to make decisions. And he held you accountable again for the decision that you made. Even though we sit back and we tell ourselves, you know what, it doesn't really matter because I'm kind of falling into this. I'm following God's leading. And if it's not, you know, if he leads me in the wrong place, then that's his fault. That's his problem, you know. And we make up all these excuses about how it was the Lord's fault or whatever. So I'm telling you, and I'm telling you this with some conviction on myself, that once I convey what I've learned already, it's going to bring a measure of more accountability into your life, because now you'll have the tools to make a good decision. And if you don't make good decisions from here on out after hearing this, not to say this is the end-all be-all of all teachings on making good decisions, but you will have some idea of how to make a better decision. And if you don't use it to some degree, that's going to hold you more accountable. Now, I'm not preaching a message of judgment and condemnation here. I'm just saying that there are ways to make a good decision and ways not to make a good decision. And the Lord will cover us either way. I think I've made a lot of bad decisions, and he's covered my back a lot. I think the quintessential passage is in Genesis, when Noah gets drunk and he's laying around naked. One of his sons, Shem, covers him with a cloak because he's laying there naked, obviously. And I think a lot of times the Lord will cover our nakedness as well. Noah made a bad decision. He got completely wasted and took all of his clothes off. That was a bad decision. But still, there was someone there for him who covered our behinds, literally. And I think the Lord will often cover our behinds on making a good decision or not. But why put him in that position of having to cover our behinds when we could work through some of that stuff before we even get to the situation in which we're asking him, okay, cover me. Now, obviously, there's a place to say, okay, Lord, please, you know, I really messed up, help me out, and you need to repent or whatever. But wouldn't it be nice? And to me, having found this, it's so relieving to say, you know what, now I have a systematic approach to making a decision. And when it comes down to it, everybody has a system for doing everything. But when it comes to the spiritual life, people think that, oh, if it's not spirit-led, or if it's not intuitive, if there's not some kind of mystical element to it, then it can't be real. But for centuries and centuries of Christian tradition and history, there have been a system. There's been systems of all kinds to help people to live in the life, to live the Christian life even better. Jesus himself gave the Sermon on the Mount, which is a system of life. The Ten Commandments are a system. So it's not so much, we are people, we do have brains, we do live in a world that responds to reality. We live in reality. We live in principles, and we live in things like this. And it's not to say that a system automatically, or by the nature of the system, inherently excludes being led by the Spirit. It places being led by the Spirit in a balance of a holistic picture of life. Okay, without further ado, here is the system. Now, in the book that I'm using here from Mark Verkler's teaching, he has it built kind of like a building, and these are the pillars in the building. The foundation is that you have a working knowledge of the Bible. It's very hard to rely upon just outward circumstances and things like that. You need to have the revelation of who God is throughout the whole testimony of Scripture, a good working knowledge of the Bible, in other words. The top of this, the goal, is, as it said in the Westminster Catechism, to the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So the overall goal is to glorify God and to enjoy God. So the decisions that you make are the pillars that hold up this roof of glorifying God are built on the foundation of the Word, and they go up to glorifying God and enjoying God. So that's our ultimate goal and our ultimate purpose. So whatever decision we have, we should set ourselves in front of the Lord and say, Lord, my heart here is to bring you glory and also to glorify you and also to enjoy you, to draw near to you, to have a deeper intimacy with you. So that's the overall goal of making a decision. So let's say you want to, you know, taking a job or whatever. So the job that you're taking then, is this going to put me in a place where I'm going to be able to enjoy the Lord more and glorify Him more or whatever, right? So you see how that, I think you can see how that works. So the first pillar, and these are no particular order, and they're all the same height, so it's not like you put more weight on one or the other. Of course, it does depend on the types. I'll talk about balancing them in a minute, just as Mark Verkler does here. The first one is God. How is God speaking to you, right? How is He speaking through the elimination of Scriptures? This is the case where the Bible just jumps, you know, verses jump out at you from nowhere, right? Like you're walking down the street and boom, verse in your hand. Or you go inside someone's house and boom, they've got it on the wall. Or you go into a service and the preacher starts saying it. Those kinds of verses, that makes up one kind of pillar. Okay, the second kind of pillar is the illumined thoughts in your mind. Right? The illumined thoughts in your mind. Now, you can feel this when this is the voice of God, right? Like, you're like, oh, man, that just makes sense. That's just a good idea. The illumination of reason. The third pillar would be the illumined witness in your heart. This is peace. It says, let peace rule in your heart in the Scriptures. The word there is umpire, right? Let peace be your umpire. Let it be. If you don't have peace about something, then that's telling something about the situation or the circumstance. This is, you know, scriptural where Jesus perceives in His spirit about whether the people are thinking or whatever. The next pillar, the fourth pillar, is the counsel of others who you trust and are in a relationship with and who you trust to hear from the Lord on a regular basis. The next pillar is the understanding of life's fruit. Right? Like, you know what? I've made this decision, and looking at it now, it is not working. There is a place in the Christian life to say, you know what? This is not working. I need to change something. Now, a lot of people will keep hitting the wall again and again and again, thinking it's going to fall down, even though it's obvious that it's not. So there's a place for reality in the Christian life, in the spiritual life. And if what you're doing is making you miserable, bored, if it's making you feel, if it's making you mean towards people, if it's making you angry, if it's bringing about all these negative fruits, making you more critical in your life, making you more accusatory to people, then you know what? You may have made the wrong decision in whatever it is that's creating that circumstance for you. So this is looking at life's fruit. The sixth pillar is God's inner witness, His voice, through dreams and through visions, and also through prophecy and for journaling. Now, this prophecy could be, as you journal, learning to hear the voice of the Lord. I've already got another podcast about that. You can back up in my archive and find my teaching that I've done also as a summary of Mark Verkler's teaching on hearing the voice of the Lord. So what the Lord is telling you about your identity and how that fits into your circumstance and how you should make decisions based upon your identity and all that stuff. And then also your dreams and your visions. But I would also add that this includes the prophetic words that people have spoken, speaking for the Lord into your life. There are many different types of prophecy. There are many different types of prophetic people. And all this stuff. But when you are being specifically prophesied over, you should record these words because these are very important, you know, and test them, just like the scriptures say. Test the spirits, test the word, see if it fit, flush what doesn't, but then take what does fit and keep it and remember it, because that is a key to your destiny. So it's very important that you go back and look in the prophecies that have been given you. Paul writes to Timothy, by the prophecies that have been given to you, wage warfare. And so when we find ourselves in the circumstances of life, like, oh man, what am I supposed to do? I feel all this love. We should go back to the prophecies that have been made concerning us and hear those again, read those again, and be built up in the faith so we can have a full heart to make good decisions or whatever we need to do. I have taken a lot of my prophetic words and turned them into a song, and so I can just listen to the song again and again. So whatever works for you. Now, there's another pillar that Verkler does not include that I would include, because I think that it's an important part of the making a decision process, and that is the tradition of the church. How does this fit with some of the voices of the past, the voices of some of the church fathers, and some of the voices of church history? Maybe you include these as part of your reading or whatever, and the Lord is speaking to you through them. If it's a decision that's not technically contradicting anything in Scripture, but it kind of contradicts the spirit of the church overall, then it might be something suspect. Now, finally, how do you balance out these pillars? Because for different people, maybe they see differently or they feel differently. As far as, this is Verkler again speaking here, as far as relational situations and counseling situations, he says he depends more heavily upon Scripture and upon journaling, illumined Scripture and upon journaling. But when he's specific guidance, like getting a job, moving somewhere, getting married, or whatever, he says that he relies on peace in his heart, counsel of others, the fruits of life, and some of the other pillars too. But I think he would say, and I would also agree with him, that probably the best way to make a very good decision is have all six pillars operating, or even with the seventh, the tradition, if you want to put that, if that's important to you. Have all of them working together and have them all balanced and just lay it out and say, Jesus, look, I need something. I need evidence in each of these six pillars of my life. I need to be able to hear you clearly in all of these six pillars to make a good decision. I want to make a good decision. I want to make a decision that puts me in a place of deeper intimacy with you. I want to make a decision that puts me in a place to glorify you. And I think that this system is pretty comprehensive. And I think that I was so excited when I finally got it, because I realized the Lord revealed to me just a couple of months ago that I had my decision-making capacity was pretty bad. I didn't really know how. Everything was ad hoc. Every time I came up with a new decision, it was like, oh no, what am I going to do? Oh well, I'll pray about it. Well, what am I supposed to do while I'm praying about it? I was only pursuing maybe one pillar, maybe two, maybe three at most, but I was not really going after all of them. And scripturally, all of them are important. So, this is Isaac of Nineveh. Thank you for listening. I hope this helps some of you out there who are struggling with, what do I want to be when I grow up? How do I make a good decision? For a lot of you that are stuck in that same kind of passive mode that I was in, this will give you something to do. You can ask God in each of these different areas. You can look up the scriptures. You can just really go after it. And it's not just this, I'm going to sit around and wait on the Lord so much and not do anything at all until fire comes from heaven. I'm going to wait on Him actively in all these different areas and open myself up to community, to His Word, to His Spirit, and all of these things to make a well-informed decision. All right. Thanks for listening.